This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to the second market talk for the month of October. In this week's episode, we'll be wondering, should we be high-fiving the 5% yield in US 10-year treasuries? From the US to China, and will China's latest fiscal stimulus package revive stock market spirits? And as analysts pore over those financial statements, we'll be taking a look at the main features of the Q3 earnings season. So asking the questions is me, Francis Watson, here in the UK, and answering them in his usual succinct way, Ben Bennett, who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hello. I'm a little bit stressed this week because I'm moving flat, so markets are a welcome distraction for me.
Oh, flat moving, that is the worst. Good luck with that, Ben. Look, we've got lots to cover in this podcast, so hopefully let's take your mind off things. should we start with events in the bond market? Huge amounts of volatility going on there.
Yeah, it's been the same for a few weeks, for a couple of months now, hasn't it? Yields going up. 10-year treasury, I think, did it hit 5% at one point? It's a bit below it now as we're talking, but yeah, it's been incredibly strong. There's been many drivers of that, one of which has been huge amounts of issuance by the Treasury. You know, the US Treasury is running a big deficit, pumping out the bonds. So someone's got to buy them and the yields keep going up. And because they're issuing loads of bonds, that's linked to the US running a big fiscal deficit. You know, the government has been printing money, handing it out, various incentive programs around the Inflation Reduction Act. And that as well has been helping the economy be quite strong. So we get Q3 GDP for the US this week, which could be above 4% on an annualized basis. So that's very strong. We've got the PMIs, you know, these sentiment indicators, the flash PMIs this week. So for the US, generally around 50, maybe even a little bit above 50, which suggests that the economy is, you know, it's still expanding a little bit, maybe not as much as the 4% GDP suggests, but still expanding. So you add that all together, yeah, and yields are high, which shows you that the US has been doing well. The problem is that that high yield in the US is being pushed on everyone else. So the rest of the world isn't doing quite so well, but they're having to accept those higher funding yields.
Yeah, I was going to say impacting not just the US bond market, but as you say, everywhere else. And how have equities taken all this?
In effect, yes, it's been those high yields squeezing asset classes, so equities as well, and credit markets and the rest of the world at the same time. So maybe I'll give you a couple of numbers. So since the end of August, so not just a few weeks now, isn't it? The S&P 500, so we're recording this on Wednesday, the S&P is down about 6%. So that's a decent move. That's also been reflected in a lot of other equity markets across the globe. So European equity markets, Chinese equity markets down around 5% or so. We've also seen credit spreads widening over that period. So investment grade credit, roughly 10 basis points wider in terms of spreads. Remember, that's the excess yield above government bonds. High yield is more like 50 basis points. And then you add on the underlying government bond yield up. So there's been some big moves up in yields, not just for government bonds, but also for credit. That's impacting total returns. And then the thing that I think is interesting, so I mentioned it's impacting the rest of the world. So Europe, which is not growing particularly strongly, Europe is probably stagnating, if not in small contraction. So those PMIs in the US that were about 50, in Europe, they were sort of 45. So that's below expansion. That's contracting level. But yet the 10-year German government bond yield is up, say, around 35 basis points since the end of August. The Italian government bond is up 70 basis points. So you can see that squeeze feeding into everywhere else. Yeah, despite the weakness. That's the issue. That's the problem.
Okay. And you say squeeze, and you did mention Chinese equities there. And I want to focus a bit on that, Ben, because they have been languishing around October 2022. Not exactly hitting them, but they've not been a good market, have they? So we had some news overnight here in the UK about another Chinese fiscal stimulus plan. Is that enough to lift animal spirits, do you think, Ben?
It hasn't lifted it yet, but I think that's because animal spirits are so low. As you say, equity markets have been depressed, not just because of that squeeze from the US, but also Chinese activity, economic activity has disappointed pretty much for the last 6 months. And people have been very depressed about this. But I have to say that the positive announcements support are starting to build up. I mean, we've already had property sector support. This was a few weeks ago. We had some program to help the local governments refinance some of their bonds. Last night, as you say, there was an announcement of another increase in government bond issuance, which will be then used by local governments for infrastructure projects linked to the floods that happened over the summer. Yeah, there was actually President Xi Jinping also visited for the first time that we know of since he became president. He visited the central bank, the PBOC, which is a sign, isn't it? Yeah, there's a focus on that. Now, it might also be a bit of a focus or a suggestion that the PBOC needs to do something to loosen liquidity a little bit in order to get money out there to pay for these new bonds that are being put in place. But you add it all up and it's starting to amount to something material. But yeah, so far the market move has been a bit disappointing. But like I said, perhaps that's just because everyone is so depressed. I do think that there's something material behind this, actually.
Okay, all right, that's interesting. Well, let's wait and see on that one. So look, let's go to current positioning. And I just wanted your thoughts on duration, Ben, really, because given yields where we are now, what do you think we should be doing with duration? Extending it or not?
We have had a view for a while now that the US economy and the global economy cannot survive an extended period of time with these rates where they are, with the yields so high. In effect, this is going to squeeze the US economy. If we're right, then we're going to see a downturn, maybe even a recession in the US economy. And ultimately, that will take away the inflation pressure because unemployment will go up. And that will lead, if we're right, it probably would lead to lower government bond yields. So as a result, we have a bias to be overweight duration. So we want to own those government bond yields because we think that those yields will go down, the price will go up, and we'll make money. That's the plan anyway. But that's been the plan for a little while. That's been the plan for a little while, and it hasn't really worked, has it? We've actually continued to see bond yields go up. We've been surprised by how resilient the US economy has been, partly because of the fiscal spending that's been done as well, partly because US consumers spent more of their COVID savings. So we've been surprised. And you know, we've got to be humble that this surprise could last a bit longer. So we have a bias to be overweight, but it's a small position. We want to add to it if yields go up. We don't want to be in a position where we lose so much money that we have to cut that position just at the point where yields top out and they start coming down again. So yes, the positioning within the portfolios is to be overweight, but modestly sized so that we can trade this huge volatility that there's been.
You've got to be nimble, haven't you? But the thing is, going into we are in the Q4. We're coming into year end, and usually we know there's a bit of a seasonal spruce to equity and bond markets. So might Q4 make up for? We've had three quarters of price declines for bond investors. Might Q4 just be the quarter where we see a few notches up on the price returns?
I'm not a big believer in seasonality, but it is funny, isn't it, when you look at history and, you know, we've been in markets long enough to know a few crises that have happened around September and October time. They always seem to impact people when you come back from holidays and, you know, we get Lehman Brothers going bust, or you get the Asia financial crisis, whenever that was, 25 years ago. And again, we've had a weak September, October. And then as you get into the end of the year, you get this Santa rally, end of year rally. I think what it is actually is that sometimes you sit down, and I've been doing it myself, you write down your year ahead outlook, and then you think, well, in that case, we should be putting this sort of trade on. And whatever people's perception of the next year is, that often gets put in place in November, December, and markets move in November, December. So we've got to think what's going to be people's trade for next year. And with yields so high across credit markets, fixed income markets, but my feeling is that we're going to see a lot of outlooks that are talking about the opportunities within fixed income asset classes, maybe long duration asset classes. And that could lead to a rally in bonds. But again, we've been waiting for that for a long period of time. So we'll have to see. But that would be my inclination now.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Now look, let's just turn to Q3 earnings season, because we've had a few announcements already from Microsoft and some of the other Big Seven, and we've had results from the banks too. I mean, what are your general impressions? Any key takeaways, Ben, for us?
You can get focused on the bottom up quite a lot, can't you, during earnings season? For example, yesterday there was a positive market reaction to Microsoft results, which beat some assessments, and there was a negative reaction to Google, Alphabet, isn't it? The results overnight as well. So who knows? We're going to get Amazon. We're going to get Meta, Apple next week as well. So big. It's probably the US is that it really is those seven stocks that have been driving returns this year, and there are certain a smaller number of stocks that represent a huge proportion of the index. So it is, you talk about bottom up, but actually you start getting four or five names and you've got 20% of the S&P 500. It's almost as silly as that, isn't it? So yeah, very important. I couldn't give you any particular trends right now, rather just to say that they on average do generally beat expectations. That's the game, isn't it? The forecast as we currently stand from Reuters is that earnings will be roughly 2.5% better than they were this time last year. So not a huge beat, but nothing to suggest that we're in a recession, which is, yeah, of course, that's not the case yet in the US. That's just a forecast.
Yeah, so far resilient, I think, is the main word, isn't it? Now, the other focus of the week is this Thursday, and the ECB has decamped to Athens, I believe. What's the mood of the meeting likely to be, Ben, at the moment?
I think they're going to be happy with the current situation. The inflation is starting to come down. That interest rates, of course, have been hiked to such a degree that, again, they probably agree with me that it's starting to have a negative impact on the economy. The PMIs, as I mentioned, are in contraction territory. So you push forward and you probably will forecast lower inflation. So I think they'll be happy enough just to wait, not do anything, and let things develop. So I don't think there'll be any change in the meeting tomorrow. But yeah, that's not the only thing that's happening. We've got the Bank of Japan as well. It's going to be next week, and we'll see what they want to do about their yield curve control. There has been some chatter that they might want to tweak, in effect, hike interest rates, but do it via yield curve control, etc. So, they'd be looking to tighten. Then the other thing that's on the agenda is the US, the House Speaker, which is still up for grabs, and the clock is
Still
ticking to the
vacant.
17th. And they've got to sort something out. They've got to sort out a spending plan before the 17th of November. And if they don't, then we're going to be chatting again about potential US shutdown, aren't we? So lots of stuff on the political horizon.
Oh gosh, well, we seem to have been chatting about that for the last 3 or 4 months. Now, the other thing, obviously, that's dominating headlines at the moment, Ben, is the tragic human conflict in the Middle East. Can you just sum up for us the impact so far on financial markets?
I think there is a perception of risk off around what has already happened and the potential for escalation going forward. So that I think has weighed at the margin on equity market sentiment and credit market sentiment. The more direct thing that we can see is the impact on the oil markets, where uncertainty about supply, that region is clearly a huge producer of oil. Would at the margin lead to higher prices because you'd be concerned about, like I said, uncertainty around supply. But oil has been rallying for a little while now because of supply uncertainty across for other reasons before this situation flared up. So yeah, it hasn't actually led to another increase in oil. It's just, I think, probably kept oil at a higher price than it would otherwise have been. So yes, just generally risk off concern and also keeping oil a little bit higher. Those are probably the main things that we've seen so far.
Okay, all right. And I've noticed actually that oil has come off, hasn't it? Since its $90 highs, it has come off, but it's such a volatile commodity, so it's a wait and see, isn't it, really? But what we're not waiting and seeing for is your number of the week, because we know you have it. What is it and why?
Yeah, I came from you actually. I was looking at 8.2%, which I think is the percentage of our podcast listeners that come from Hong Kong. It's the local Hong Kong listeners, which is interesting, isn't it? I don't know if that's because they see me about the town and decide to listen to my podcast as opposed to listen to what I'm saying in the bars and restaurants. And next week I'm going back to Singapore. We're having an Outlook presentation in our new office in Singapore that we've spoken about before. So I'll be presenting to a few people there and talking about what bond yields might be, which we can chat about in our next podcast. And hopefully we'll be getting that percentage up in our Singapore listenership.
I do hope so. And it's very exciting to have a new office in the region. So thank you, Ben. Good luck with that. And thank you to all our listeners for listening. Thank you. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2023. Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.